and love your pastor dearly. He is a friend to young preachers. He's definitely been a friend to me, and he and Brother Todd helped me immensely. Love you all. Come here. There's a lot of freedom to preach, and you all are a very loving church, and I always appreciate the singing whenever I come here. It's unlike a lot of other places that the Lord allows me to go. So we'll be in Acts chapter 27 tonight. I want to talk about the effects of believing on God. I was thinking of the song, "What a Day That'd Be," as they were singing it. And I think when we see Him face to face and we see Him in His glory, we see Him as holy, 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 and we see just what He left behind for a sinner like me, what a day that will be. So this portion of Scripture was actually preached at our conference here a week or so ago, and it was brought well. I'm not going to re-preach it, but while I was sitting there, God actually had given me something, and I pray just to be used to encourage you tonight. We're going to use the text leading up to this tonight as our introduction. Our main text will be in verse 20, but I'm going to talk a few texts through us getting there. Acts 27 in your Bible is a very well-known portion of Scripture. I pray it is. In your Bible, the header probably says Paul's journey to Rome or Paul sent to Rome. And then if you have headers in your Bible, a few more, a storm arises and the shipwreck probably tell the story of what happens here on Paul's journey here. But I would so much like to bring the entire chapter, but I don't believe time would allow us to do that tonight. That being said, we can understand that in this, Paul knew where he was going. He knew God had told him where he was going. The destination was set. However, if you've studied this before, you know this is no normal voyage. We know the ending ultimately in our life. In our daily plans, we get up in the morning and we make plans. We think we know how our day is going to go. We make plans for the week. My week's already planned out. The rest of my month is planned out. And I think I know how it's going to go. But as we call it, life happens along the way. Things don't always go as we intend them to. They don't go as planned. In our walk, in our families, they don't go that way. There's things we'd all go back and redo. There's things we wish we could undo. And in our churches, we have plans and we think things are going to go there. And a year goes by and sometimes the people aren't there or they're just not like they were the year before. And dare I say, maybe a year goes by and we're not what we were the year before. So things tend to happen to us on the way. There's so much I believe that would help us in our daily walk. And again, I'm not going to bring it all, but it's believed Luke is here with them. It says we in verse 1 of the chapter. He is the author, believed to be the author of the book of Acts. And you would go through these next few verses and you would find that the centurion that was set over Paul, God had given Paul much favor with him. He'd give Paul lots of freedom. He was very kind to him in the travels. And then I would like to read verses 9 through 11 here. Now when much time was spent and when sailing was now dangerous, so that means wasted time, because the fast was now already past, Paul admonished them and said unto them, "Sirs, I perceive that this voyage will be with hurt and much damage, not only of the lading and ship, but also of our lives. Nevertheless, the centurion believed the master and the owner of the ship more than those things which were spoken of by Paul." I would like to just say one thing here. Paul did try to warn him. It was going to be rough sailing. Nevertheless, the centurion believed the mariners. He believed the master of the ship. Can I just say that just because that's somebody's job, or just because God's given them success at it, just because that book's a bestseller, just because this worked for brother or sister so-and-so, doesn't mean they're always right. Paul wasn't a mariner. He wasn't a meteorologist. This wasn't the first time he was shipwrecked. He knew who was in control of all of these things. I'm just saying, watch where you place your merit. Oftentimes, we believe people and things, and if we really knew, I wonder if we'd believe. So then we read on in verse 14, but not long after there arose against it a tempestuous wind called, I had to write this out so I could read it, Euroclydon. Now I'm unaware, and you all correct me, of another named storm found in Scripture. This thing had a name, Euroclydon. It was a great wind. That word means strong, rough, or blowing with violence. It's thought to be a hurricane-top wind. And then verse 15, and when the ship was caught and could not bear up into the wind, we let her drive. They were breaking the ship apart worse, trying to fight against the storm. They let her drive, meaning they let go. I want you to understand that tonight, they let go. No need to fight this storm, it's bigger. It's a your will be done moment in our life where something bigger than us, stronger than us, more powerful than anything we can come up with or anything we faced in the past comes. And where do we place our hope in those times? They had to let go. I say it's a time when you realize you're finished. You simply have been shown to let go and trust. You're in the hands of a mighty God. And I pray if you're under the sound of my voice tonight, you have a moment like that where you gave up and you placed yourself in his hands. Let's read on now, verses 18 and 19. It says, and we exceedingly tossed with a tempest the next day. They lightened the ship. And the third day we cast out with our own hands the tackling of the ship. We could all say, I believe, but many things come our way, storms and trials, and they've taken things away from us. They've taken people, church members. Maybe things have come your way in life and it's taken part of you with it. Have you ever been hurt? I mean, we heard a great sermon this morning. We hurt each other. Sometimes things happen and part of us is never the same after whatever that thing that is that comes our way. So this storm took some things. But you notice the end of the verse 19 there? They cast with their own hands the tackling of the ship. I would just like to stop on our way to our point that what the storm didn't take out of the ship, they tossed over. And I just want to say for just a moment, that's a needful thing for us to think about today, the things that we're carrying on our ship, the things that we have that we need to get rid of. Some things, God sends a storm our way because we don't need it and we're unwilling to toss it over. But if there was going to be any hope of moving forward, they had to throw a few things off themselves. So, and it helps prepare us better for the next storm. So again, I'd like to preach it all, but now we find ourselves in our verses here. And I'm going to read verses 20 through 38, if you'd bear with me and read along. And when neither sun nor stars in many days appeared and no small tempest lay on us, all hope that we should be saved was then taken away. But after long abstinence, Paul stood forth in the midst of them and said, sirs, ye should have hearkened unto me and not loose from Crete and to have gained this harm and loss. Paul had a moment where he could have said something. He waited, the storm came, and now he kind of has a little bit of a I told you so. He says, and now I exhort you to be of good cheer, for there shall be no loss of any man's life among you, but of the ship. For there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve. Saying, fear not, Paul, thou must be brought before Caesar, and lo, God hath given thee all them that sail with thee. Wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer, for I believe God, that it shall be even as it was told me, howbeit we must be cast upon a certain island. But when the 14th night was come, as we were driven up and down in Adria about midnight, the shipmen deemed that they drew near to some country, and sounded and found it 20 fathoms, and when they had gone a little further, they sounded again and found it 15 fathoms. Then fearing lest we should have fallen upon the rocks, they cast anchors out of the stern and wished for the day. And the shipmen were about to flee out of the ship when they had let down the boat into the sea into the collar, as though they would have cast anchors out of the foreship. Paul said to the centurion and to the soldiers, except these abide in the ship, ye cannot be saved. Then the soldiers cut off the ropes of the boat and let her fall. And while the day was coming on, Paul besought them all to take meat, saying, this day is the 14th day that ye have tarried and continued fasting, having taken nothing. Wherefore I pray you to take some meat, for this is your health. For there shall not an hair fall from your head, from the head of any of you. And when he had thus spoken, he took bread and gave thanks to God in the presence of them all. And when he had broken it, he began to eat. Then were they all of good cheer, and they also took some meat. And we were in all the ship 260 souls. And when they had eaten enough, they lightened the ship and cast out the wheat into the sea. I would like for us to consider at this time the effects of believing God. Verse 25, Paul stands up in the middle of the storm, and he says, "Wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer, for I believe God." First thing I'd like us to think about is believing God brings hope to the hopeless. Amen. Hope is not a wish, folks. It's not something we wish for. Hope is the expectation of a future good. Hope is confidence founded on God's grace. Hope is confidence founded on God's word, a belief of a certain grounded on evidence. Believing God brings hope to a hopeless situation. Question I would ask you, and I already know the answer, and I pray that you're having a real good season of life, but have you ever needed some hope in this life? Has something ever happened to you and you're just waiting for God to deliver you from the storm? And the winds keep blowing. You've let go of the wheel. You've let her drive and you've turned it over to God and you've gotten rid of some things. And yet you still find yourself in the midst of a trial or a storm, something that's bigger than you. Do you still believe God? We need hope in our day. We look around, and I'm not a guy that watches the news. I try not to. But we all know what's going on around us. We live in a day that needs hope more than ever. We need encouragement because of the way the world is. We need encouragement because of the way we treat each other sometimes. We need to know God has this under control. Believing God will help bring hope when you have no direction. They went 14 days. Now, that doesn't seem like a long time to go through a trial. Some of us in here have probably went through trials for years. But this wasn't just a here and there when it comes up or when I see that person or whatever the case may be. This was 14 days of relentless storm. Intense trouble. Verse 20 says there's no sun and no stars. No light at all. It was darkness. Darkness, I believe you could feel. They had no way to navigate. They didn't have a GPS. They didn't have a smartphone. They're looking up to them stars to know which direction they're headed, right? Often we're waiting on God to show us what's next, and we're looking, and sometimes those stars aren't there to show us. We're not seeing it. They might not have been able to see the sun or the moon or the stars, but I'm going to tell you, they were still up there in the heavens where God hung them. They're there where God placed them. Just because you can't see it, don't lose hope, because your God put them there. That old Orion's belt that Job spoke of way before anybody ever thought of it here, it was still up there. The Big Dipper that I used to be a kid, I lay on the trampoline, look up at the stars at night. And there's just certain nights where it seems like God lowers that sky for us and we look up and we can just see it. And I remember laying up and we'd look for stuff we'd learn about in school. They're still there today, 30 years later in my life. And they ain't changed a bit because God told them to stay exactly where they were and keep doing what they're doing, right? My kids look at the same stars, and unless Jesus comes back, their kids are going to look up at the same stars because God commanded them to stay there. They're set in their place because God put them there. Just because we've lost sight of it doesn't mean that God let them go. Do you see it in your trial? You're looking for it, and it's not there, and you're losing hope, but everything is still in God's place, exactly where He put it. Don't believe what you see in the storm. Simply believe God. Things are going to come. Troubles are going to come. I don't know what to do. I don't know how to handle this. You don't. I don't. You're going to ask your pastor. Sometimes he don't. I whispered. But you know who does? God. Believe God that He's going to take care of this, that it's for His honor and glory and for your good. We don't want to go through it. I don't like going through growing pains. But I'm going to tell you, I wouldn't be whatever good is in me today without them. Sometimes we're going along and we're sailing along and it's blue skies. And in a matter of moments, things change. We got plans. We get up. We're going. Things are good. And then we get a bad report or something happens to sister so-and-so or something happens to one of our kids. And just like that, the skies go from blue to stormy. And it may set in for a day or it may set in for 14 or for a year. But you got to believe God day one, just like you do a year later. Nothing's changed. We had those moments in life where you don't know what's next. And you don't know how to navigate. You don't know the purpose of it. And it seems like you've lost your way. Just keep believing God. Man, this is simple. It is simple. Just try it. It's harder than it is to preach. You may not see the next step yet. I've been praying that God would light up the next step. I tell folks all the time, they're like at work, what is it like to be a preacher? I said, I feel like I'm playing Twister with God. I said, and I'm just getting myself all tied up wanting to know where to go next. But we're praying, what's the next step? I don't see it. He's got it planned, and in time, I'll see it. In time, the storm will end and the stars will reappear. Keep believing. There is hope found in Him that we can find in no other place. Never had a day the sun didn't come up. How about you? I may not have been able to see it. I may not have wanted to see it, but it come up because He told it to. Believing God brings hope when all's lost. They had already let go of the rudder and the sails. They had already tossed with their hands to tackle the ship. And we find in the middle of being tossed about when it was dark and all hope was lost, that a person within the storm himself stands up. The Apostle Paul and that old preacher just preached, hey, I believe God. Right there in the middle of it all. Your pastor's going to go through some storms. He may go through stuff y'all don't have any idea about. You need to be praying for him. He's not special. He is. All right.
Thank you, bro.
You're welcome. All right, I'm done. But it's the caller and the calling, not the called. Nothing special about me. I'm a sinner. People want to treat you different when you surrender to preach because now preacher is attached to you. I'm the same sinner I was a year and a half ago today. I don't know the difference. But he needs your prayers. Because when all is lost and everybody's like, I don't know what to do. This is happening. Brother so-and-so is doing this. We're changing this. I don't understand what's going on over here. He's sitting up and he's just saying, look, I don't know, but I believe God's going to take care of it. You need to be praying for him because sometimes it's hard for him to stand up and do that. Maybe some of you all need to stand up and do that. I won't meddle. Husbands, mothers, grandparents, believers, all shapes, sizes, colors, standing up and offering hope in the day in the middle of a trial and of the bad news. In our day and time, you're standing up in front of your own family. And whenever it seems like all is lost, who's offering them hope? You're going to send them to a preacher? You're going to send them to a pastor down the road? You're going to send them a self-help book? Listen to this sermon. It really helped me. Or are you going to say, listen, let me tell you about a time I couldn't see the sun or the stars for 14 days. And I thought all was lost. But I'll tell you what, I believe God and He brought me through it. Tell them your story. Because you know what? There's plenty of people out there with the wrong story and they're just waiting to tell it. We got the best there is to tell and we're holding it to ourselves oftentimes. Tell them your story. Are you exhorting like Paul did in verse 22? Are you showing them that you believe God? In verse 22, he says, I exhort you to be of a good cheer, for there shall be no loss of any man's life among you, but that of the ship. This life's not easy. Sometimes we get drugged into somebody else's storm. Those are the worst. But it happens. Paul was like, hey, we don't need to go. They should have left sooner. Now, this was for God's honor and glory, but you get drugged into somebody else's storm, and it's not always going to be smooth sailing. Young people in here, enjoy your youth. It's a wonderful thing. But I'm going to tell you right now, adulthood and the problems that come with it are waiting for you. It's not going to be easy. Mom and dad may make it look easy. You need to love them and be thankful for them while you got them. There's going to be times in your life, young and old alike, that you're doing everything right. You're right where you're supposed to be. Paul was exactly where God wanted him to be. And guess what happened? Eurocladon came for him. That sounds like Godzilla or something, doesn't it? But it came for him. What was he doing wrong? He was right where God wanted him to be. Have you ever been right where God wanted you to be and found yourself in the middle of what just happened? How did it go this far, this fast, out of control? I don't know what to do. What am I going to do about this? What am I going to do about that? Well, they're doing this over here. They're saying this over here. I don't know. I'm just going to believe that God's got this in control and He's allowing it to happen for some reason. That's what you got to do. You got to believe God, folks. The hard times have a purpose. We grow. He's glorified. Maybe you haven't done anything wrong and you're in His will. You're in the will of the Father and you are just in sainthood almost. The storm's coming. Get ready. You find yourself in the center of a situation, it seems like all hope's lost. James 1, 2, and 3, I know you know it, but it says, my brethren, count it all joy when you find it in divers temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. Keep believing God. Don't lose hope, because you'll want to quit. It's easier to quit than it is to stay in the fight. Not only does believing God bring hope, but believing God brings good cheer. Cheer is a state of gladness or a joy above gloom and depression. Hope brings joy in the storm. Paul exhorted them to be of good cheer in verse 22. We just read it. And then he told them to be of good cheer again, what God had told him in verse 25. But after they were made to stay on the ship, they wanted to jump off. Paul does something I find completely odd in all this story. When I read this, you're going to think I'm just real weird, Brother Todd, about what I'm about to point out. But look at verses 34 through 38. Wherefore I pray you to take some meat, for this is your health, and there shall be not an hair fall from your head of any of you. And when he had thus spoken, he took bread and gave thanks to God in the presence of them all. And when he had broken it, he began to eat. He begged them to eat. They're sick. They're seasick and they're hungry. Their bodies had given up any nourishment it had. And then they all eat and they're of good cheer. And that why I find it hard is he prayed they would eat. Has anybody in here ever been deep sea fishing? Have you ever been deep sea fishing to find out you don't have sea legs? I mean, my dad loved it. We'd be like, let's go deep sea fishing. I don't know. We're going to go like a 12-hour troll trip. You troll out for 3 or 4 hours, and then I'm fine as long as we're moving. But I'm going to tell you, when you stop and you're on that little thing and it starts doing this, I get sick. The last thing I want to do is eat. I mean, my dad, he's like, I spent X amount of dollars. I had a Walmart sack over my ears so I could fish and get seasick at the same time. The last thing I wanted to do was eat. I had some church members talk us into going back in 2020 again. And we go and we find this captain. I don't know if he's a captain or not. He was a former Marine, great guy. Oh, I know where the fish are running. And some of the people we were going with were excited. I'm like, ugh, I hope it's a big boat. It's like a bass boat. Bass boat in the Gulf of Mexico. I don't need to be on a bass boat in the Gulf of Mexico. I didn't throw up that time because I was with people I didn't want to pick on me. That's a powerful thing. But if I was alone, I would have gave in. But I say all that to say this. It's an odd thing that he would tell them to eat. If you've ever been sick, roller coaster, seasick, or just been sick, sometimes the hardest thing to do is eat. And Paul says, hey, I pray that you'd eat some of this meat. Picture this with me, 14 days of this storm and 14 days of the darkness. You're being tossed about. I don't even know if they know up from down. I wouldn't. I don't like that feeling. And the ship's breaking apart around you. And maybe some of you are tough, but folks like me had already given everything the body had to offer. And Paul says, hey, I want you to eat this. Eat some meat. You're not even going to lose a hair on that old wet, dirty head of yours. God's got this. Because I'm the guy like, oh my gosh, we're going to die. But we need some encouragers out there, don't we? He takes the meat and he breaks bread. And did you see it that he gave thanks to God in the middle of all this? Did you see that verse? I'm going to read it again. Verse 35, and when he had thus spoken, he took bread and gave thanks to God in the presence of them all. That's the most encouraging thing I think he could have done. World's falling apart around you. I don't understand. Paul's in the storm too. He says, let's take time to thank God for what we got here before us. That's a hard thing to do. I will tell you this. It's an odd thing to do unless you're one of God's people. And oftentimes we don't want to do it anyway, do we? But we're driven to give thanks in the hard times. I don't mean like, hey, thank you for this meal. But I mean, when we don't know where the next meal is coming from or we don't know what the next step is, we don't know what tomorrow holds. We can truly then give thanks to God for what he's brought us through and what he's done for us. It may not work out, but we're to give thanks anyways. You know, I've heard this said my whole life. You don't know how folks get through life without God, right? I mean, it's an odd thing that so many people can overcome things and they don't have a God to pray to and they don't have the confidence that we have. So if you want hope and then the cheer that comes with it, you've got to stay on the ship. 276 souls on that ship, and they would be delivered because of what God would do through one man standing before them, believing God. This morning you were challenged to find your talent and to serve God with it. Never underestimate what God's doing for you, because you don't know who's watching and you don't know the effect you have on someone else. Listen, I'm not going to say no self-confidence, but I don't think I have a whole lot to offer folks sometimes. But God's shown me some things where He gives you a vote in somebody's life that I don't have a vote in sometimes. Never underestimate what one voice can do. One man on a boat with 276 people on it said, "I believe God, eat." And they were of good cheer. We don't have to sound like everybody else. Look at verses 30 and 31. "And as the shipmen were about to flee out of the ship, when they had let down the boat into the sea, into the collar, as though they would have cast anchors out of the foreship, Paul said to the centurion and to the soldiers, 'Except these abide in the ship, ye cannot be saved.'" You notice that they were going to leave a ship for a boat? You ever really thought about that? I mean, it gets hard and people want to jump ship sometimes. They're giving up something bigger for something smaller. You're giving up something great for something that's okay. You're supposed to stay on the ship until God removes you from the ship. Ships are bigger than boats. Shocker. Ship is more apt to handle the storm. Don't leave God. Don't leave God's people. Don't leave God's church because someone else out there told you to. Stay on the ship. It's made it this long. Okay? Don't flee. It gets rough, and what do people do? They start looking for ways out. It's not what God's commanding you to do. You stand still and you see. That's what we've been commanded to do. Simply this, don't leave God for less. If you're thinking about jumping ship, whatever it is, a job, a church, a relationship, I'll stop there. You better pray about that. You better make sure it's the right move. Don't leave God for less. I'll simply say this. There's no cheer, there's no joy that you find in verse 36 where it says they eat and they were of good cheer if you jump the ship in verse 30. Stay on the ship. It would seem like perhaps the story has changed here in verse 36, but the story didn't change because we read twice already why the story wouldn't change. Maybe this nourishment wasn't for the things they had lost, but for what lied ahead. Maybe they needed strength for the things that were to come. Can I make one more point to you tonight? Yes, believing God gives hope, and yes, believing God brings cheer, but it doesn't stop the storm. We don't serve a your best life here now, God, though a lot of people are going to try to sell you that. That's not why we're here. He is just and He is holy and we are His. Look at verse 25 and 26. We'll take our last points here. "Wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer, for I believe God that it shall be even as it was told me. Howbeit, we must be cast upon a certain island." Howbeit, even after he says, "I believe God," howbeit, that means nevertheless. That means notwithstanding, yet, however. Be it as it may, even though I believe God, we're still going to be cast. We're going to be flung. We're going to be driven by force from this ship. The storm's going to keep raging. So life is full of storms. It's full of troubles. You're still going to be tossed about. Then you're going to be cast out. Here's the hard part. You must still believe God. You're still going to have bad days. Keep believing. You're going to want to quit. Keep believing. Some of you are teachers in here. I don't know all of you. I sat in Brother Jay's this morning. I appreciated some of the things he said, but he's going to want to quit. You need to encourage him. You keep believing. Pastor, I wanted to quit more stuff in the last year, but the purpose I've been called to is greater than me. I can't quit. And none of you can quit. Keep believing. It's going to get hard. And you know what? Your adversary fights an unfair fight. You just keep believing God. It's going to happen just like God said it's going to happen. The one we serve is worth it all, and He's going to see you through. Don't lose hope. Keep your cheer, because it's going to get better. You see verse 25? I want to break this down real fast. "Wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer." All right. So he says, yes, be of good cheer. And then he says, for I believe God. So, yes, I want you to believe God. But why? Why do those two things matter? Because it's found in the end of the verse. It's going to happen just like God said it would happen. It shall be as it was told me. That's it. That's the only reason I believe God. It's because I know it's going to happen just like he said it's going to happen. It's going to work out just like he said it's going to work out. There's going to be good days. There's going to be bad days. Howbeit, we must believe God. So I know this message tonight is for those that have God to go to. You got a God to go through the storms with you. And I pray tonight that you stay on the ship and you keep believing no matter what comes. I needed this message. It's not something I necessarily enjoy preaching because either you're coming out of one or you're going into one. That doesn't just apply to me. It's you as well. And I fear you may have to look back and be like, I got to believe God. I'm not too good at waiting. Sometimes God puts me in the storm, so I have to wait. I'm just sitting there getting tossed about. And I'd like to jump off, but I can't. And he teaches me patience there on that ship. But he's God, and I'm his, and he is mine, and he has me. Yes, it's hard and it's uncomfortable, but I believe the verse in the verse 25, it's going to work out just like he said it was going to work out. I don't know what tomorrow holds. I don't know all the details of the things that's fixing to come to pass, but I know one thing. God's still in control, and everything he spoke into existence is still doing what he told it to do. Keep believing God. I have a book full of promises from the Alpha and the Omega. It's all his. If there be a loss under the sound of my voice, you don't have God to turn to. I pray that God would show you that you're in a mighty big mess tonight if you're lost. You're on a collision course with eternity. You're going to die. I don't want to be negative, but death comes for all of us. You can fight all you want. You can try to save yourself. You can try to fight for it, but it's not going to do you any good. It's only when you let go and you just simply believe on Jesus and you trust in him. And it's not about your trust, a little trust. It's about the one it's placed in. Just simply believe on him. It's a free gift. It's by grace. It's not of works. So let go of the wheel and believe God. Because you're trying to do it yourself. So turn the service over, brother. Awesome.